Evidence-based policymaking is a topic being discussed by the Bipartisan Policy Center, and to discuss that, we are joined by Sandy Davis, Senior Advisor at the Bipartisan Policy Center, former Associate Director for Legislative Affairs at the Congressional Budget Office, and you can find Sandy on Twitter at the Bipartisan Policy Center. It's at BPC_bipartisan, and Sandy, thank you for talking with us today.
My pleasure, Kent. Good to be with you.
So how would you define evidence-based policymaking? What does that entail?
Well, you know, fundamentally, evidence-based policymaking, and it's you know, on some level, it's very intuitive. It's fundamentally using what research and evaluations of federal programs can tell us about whether or not they are delivering the results, the promised results, to the folks that they're attempting to serve. And using that basic research, that basic guidance, to guide funding decisions on where to target federal funds most effectively. It's basically using information on programmatic outcomes, on results and outcomes, and to guide the decisions instead of putting the programs in place first and sort of hoping for the best.
So this is a loaded question, but isn't that being done now?
That was the question I asked when I first took on this project.
And if not, why not?
Yeah. So fundamentally, what we've tended to do over the years is especially for social programs, is put in place programs using, you know, anecdotal information with the best of intentions to target needy populations to help address poverty, educational achievement, homelessness, reduce crime. And what we've done is putting in place these programs, we sort of put them in place and we focused more on sort of the outputs of the programs. How many people are being served? How many housing units are being built? How much funds are being spent? And there's been less attention focused on the actual results of the programs, surprisingly enough. And there has been a movement in recent years to really sort of flip the switch, to sort of focus more on what are the best approaches for addressing these important needs in society, and let's target funds on these best approaches and use the best available research, rigorous research. Let's test ideas. Let's test how these things work before we actually put them in place, or let's test them first before we put them in place. So this is the focus.
I'm talking with Sandy Davis from the Bipartisan Policy Center, which has a report out called Congress and Evidence-Based Policymaking, Creating a 21st Century Legislature. So, and of course, this is true to your name, a bipartisan report. Members
Right.
of Congress from both parties are involved. So if this were to be put into effect, what would we see that's different? How would Congress operate differently? Would it take longer? How would the results be different? How would things change?
Well, you know, it's already, you know, our focus is on Congress and trying to advance the greater use of rigorous evidence and evaluations in a legislative setting. There's already been a lot of progress made in recent years on, you know, infusing the policy process with an evidence-based approach, particularly beginning in the Bush administration, Bush 2, and then in the Obama administration, sort of continued that momentum and expanded it to a broader range of human resource programs, especially focused on the federal grants that are used as a basis for funding many of these programs. And there has been some interest expressed in Congress. I mean, most fundamentally, Congress established, through the sponsorship of Speaker Ryan and Senator Patty Murray, established a commission on evidence-based policymaking to look at the federal data structure and evaluate how federal data can be better used to sort of support research and evaluations of federal programs. That commission is going on right now and is scheduled to report its findings in September. So that's an important effort. There have been legislative efforts as well in Congress. The recent education reauthorization enacted, the Every Student Succeeds Act at the end of the previous Congress, put in place important evaluation criteria for federal education grants to states and localities as a basis for funding the approaches and interventions that work most effectively. So these are sort of initial forays into applying evidence as a criterion for federal funding, but it's been focused on existing on federal grant programs and on sort of a smaller share of the total amount of federal grants. I think if we saw this applied more broadly, we could see it applied to a broader range of programs, there are hundreds of billions of dollars worth of federal grants that go to states and localities every year, for example. And many of those programs haven't been fully evaluated for their effectiveness. We have a sense that that they're working, they're targeting the right populations. But if we had a broader set of evaluations done at the federal level, as many states do now, by the way, we'd have better information to feed in the political process. I don't think we'll ever convert the political process to a purely science-driven process, nor should we, really. The pull and tug of politics in Congress is an important part of making decisions. But our goal here at BPC is to sort of have this science-driven analysis and data at least have a seat at the table as Congress is considering its budgetary deliberations and how to fund federal programs.
If this were to be put into place, is it your belief that this might cut out some of the politics involved in some of these programs?
You know, the beauty of this approach and what we've seen in its early implementation, as I said, in the Bush years and the Obama years, is that it has been a largely bipartisan approach. I mean, I think that policymakers of all sides, both sides, can agree that whatever dollars we spend on federal programs, we should spend as effectively as possible and use the best data and analysis and research to tell us which approaches work the best. So it fundamentally has a bipartisan underpinning, and that's sort of what attracted me to it to begin with. Having said that, I don't think it's ever going to eliminate the sort of the threshold decisions about, you know, what's the appropriate size and role of government, things like this, and nor should it really. I mean, those are sort of fundamental philosophical decisions that are made about, you know, what programs to put in place and what areas to target for federal assistance or federal interventions versus what states and localities may be doing. So it won't replace politics, but our goal is that it will inform politics and the political decisions that are made. I mean, my background is in the budget process, so I sort of compare it to, you know, Congress's efforts over the years to have better informed budgetary decisions. You may not think that's what's going on, but that's been the effort in the budgetary side. And having worked at the Congressional Budget Office, for example, CBO provides budget and economic information. Congress doesn't make a move, really, until it gets those CBO cost estimates. We're hoping for a parallel structure for Congress with regard to research and evidence. That maybe one of the first questions they'll ask is, well, before we undertake this program, before we evaluate this program that we now have, what is the existing research from academia, from educators, from others, tell us about how it's working or how it would work, and have that question up front in the process.
And we expect to hear back from Congress on this in September, right?
Yes, we're going to hear from the Commission on Evidence-Based Policymaking. That's a federal commission. It's evaluating the federal data infrastructure. We'll hear from them in September. They're going to sort of make recommendations about the best way to organize and access existing federal data sets, which there's tons of data that the federal government collects.
Right.
How to use that more effectively in the policy process.
Okay. Sandy Davis, Senior Advisor of the Bipartisan Policy Center, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kent. My pleasure.
Good talking with you. You can find him on Twitter at BPC_bipartisan.